Welcome to the Meaningful Work Podcast Fireside Chat, a more relaxed, deep conversation with this week's guest. So grab a coffee, a cigar, or whatever gives you the feels, and get ready to laugh and learn. Here's your host, Josh Snyder.
Welcome to the Fireside Chat. All right, Scott, I gotta know.
All right, let's hear it.
Did you ever want to quit? Like, was this ever just, like, too much? What? Obviously, to be a pilot, you have to be incredibly resilient. You have to be willing to take on loads of information and process at speeds that are just life-changing speeds. So, were there ever any moments in your journey to become a pilot where, you know, hitting the eject button, if you will, was a real option?
You know, I would say in high school, maybe two times as I was taking flight lessons after school before college, but during high school, I think I had two times where I sat back and, you know, I really asked myself, is this what I want to do? Because it's a very expensive hobby and my parents are very supportive. And they said, you know, we will support you if this is what you're going to do and this is what you want to do. So there's a few times where, you know, the training did get difficult, you know, and I really had to just sit back some days and be like, is this what I want to do? And, you know, although those couple times happened, I don't regret doing that. And I've loved it ever since. So.
Do you think that those moments of potentially walking away or stopping, or like, did those almost strengthen you in the long run?
I think so. I think they did. It made my passion for flying even more. It's kind of like a gut check. You just got to really make sure it's what you want to do. Is there anything else that I want to do in life? Is there any other profession, you know? So I think it did help a lot.
Interesting. I mean, I know in my own journey, there were plenty of reasons to quit or to stop. And some of them were, you know, you're on stage and you feel like, I remember one, I was in Chicago, my first real big name brand client, and I am halfway through a keynote, and I remember seeing the side door thinking to myself, if I just run,
I'll make it out.
Yeah. Like, I'll never have to see these people again. And, you know, it just, there's these moments where you're just like, what is going on? Like, what? This is, and that was, you know, some potential poor execution, or as I've since learned, I almost over-prepared and became, tried to do something that I shouldn't have tried to do. But that moment has served me so many times. I realized that I, in my mind, put this audience on a pedestal because I'm like, oh, wow, like I am speaking to AOL. And once you speak to AOL, and I made these people superhuman in my mind, and I was like, I gotta impress them. And so many times I've been able to go back to that moment of what felt like failure, to remind myself, this group of people that I'm in front of, they're not superhuman. They're not any different than me, than right. Every other audience. Right. And so those moments of challenge, they just, they serve you so well if you can shape them that way.
Right.
So let's talk about the landings. What is a bad, what does it mean to have a bad landing?
I think the definition is going to vary drastically between the passengers and the pilots. I mean, a bad landing for me when I'm flying passengers is just maybe, maybe you bounced it a little, maybe you just hit too hard, but in your mind it was too hard, but as a passenger, they're probably like, oh, that was a soft landing. But a lot of pilots, you know, we always keep thinking about the landings that we just did. And, you know, I'll drive home after a flight and I'll still think about the landings that I did. So it sticks in your head. But I think we're harder on ourselves than the passengers. So
now, is it because, like, is there such thing as a perfect landing?
I guess so. I guess it would be called, you know, like we greased a landing. Basically, you just kind of lightly touch the tires and just you person in the back. Basically, if he was sleeping, he wouldn't have woke up, I guess, would be one.
I mean, but I've had those landings where I'm like in the zone working on something and all of a sudden it's like, I guess there was part of me that knew we landed. But all of a sudden it seems like bong and like the lights are on and everybody's standing up and I'm like, oh, we're here.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Uh huh. Yeah. Like that's what we aim for. We aim for that. But, you know, but a lot of conditions, you know, we aren't privileged to land like that. Like it's real windy. You know, like when you have a crosswind and a lot of the landings, we have to kind of set down harder and we're trained to do it that way. And even though it seems like it's like a bad landing to the people in the back, it's kind of the way we were supposed to do it and we're trained to do it. So,
that's very fascinating. So if conditions are maybe less than ideal, your training or like the optimal landing is to make harder contact with the ground, if you will?
Not so much harder. It just depends. Like if
it's there's probably 20 answers to that question.
Yeah, I know. It could be any kind of situation, but if there's a strong wind coming from the side, you know, you're trained to actually land with, you know, the wheel close. You actually trained.
You're supposed to land a little sideways, right?
Not sideways, but you're supposed to land, one wheel first and then the other one down.
Okay.
When you have a strong crosswind is how you're supposed to. So it just depends. Every day is different. Going back to that thing, like every day is different. Every conditions are different. You can't prepare yourself. Like that's what I love about it. I think the most, you just don't know. And you know, we can look at forecasted weather and we do for the airport where we're going, but storms change direction, they change velocity. You just don't know until you get there, and then you have to just deal with it. So it's pretty fun, I think so.
I mean, I get it because when it's like our next speaker or our opening speaker is Josh Schneider and he's the founder of the blah, 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 like put your hands together and welcome to the stage. It's like at that moment, it's like I'm either quitting this career or I'm going up there. And like, you know, you have no choice.
Right.
You are in the arena. The gates are closed and it's you or the lion. And it's like a good landing or like a bad landing, I guess. And I mean, I am the same way. Jenna knows not to, there's those moments where I get off the stage and I text her and I'm like fire emojis. And then there's those moments where like, she doesn't hear from me for 3 hours.
Right.
And just like you said, like the client might've loved it. The audience might've gotten so much value and some walkaway points, but there was me that was like, you know what? The intention that I had, the preparation, the energy, the commitment, it just didn't translate into the way that maybe I would have wanted the feedback. Or like, you know, you're looking at people, I'm looking at people's eyes, I'm reading their body language, or, you know, maybe I said one or two words that changed the nuance of something. And it's like, you take those and you try not to beat yourself up, but it's like, it gets under you and like, you can't just shake it. Okay. The other thing that I say okay a lot, but you know what? It's the Fireside Chat, so I can say whatever I want.
Let's hear it. What do you got?
So, I personally have to, I guess I don't have to, but I continue to read books and articles and research, and I enjoy it because it continues to grow who I am. I enjoy learning. I make new connections, so I have different content. In terms of, I guess, you know, it could be your experience, but I'm going to say, like, successful pilots, those that do well or succeed, you know, is there a part of the job? Because when you're on, you are so on. You know, there's no well, not didn't feel it today.
Right.
You know, is the off time as important as the on time, or is in the off time it important to try and, like, I don't know, is there, like, Pilots Magazine International, what do we talk about? Like, what, I guess what I'm imagining is that off time is so critical to bring balance to who you are as a human, so that way when you get behind the, is it the wheel? Like, what do you,
when you could get say
into
that.
The cockpit? What, yeah. I don't know what it's called. When you get up in there, that you're able to perform your best. Like, what's that balance of, like, hey, you know, it's, I should just hardcore relax, or I should continue this learning, this grooming, this processing?
No, you definitely need the balance. I mean, the downtime, you know, after a flight, you know, we're required so many hours off, and I need that downtime, especially when I drive home, you know, spend it with the family, just not think about flying, not think about what happened, because it does get stressful a lot of times. But you need that downtime to just kind of recenter yourself and not think about stuff and not think about your next phone call you're going to get, just to, you know, decompress.
And one of the ways that I have kind of, I guess, thought about this is in terms of, I think of myself in a lot of ways like a cheetah from, not that I, that could be misinterpreted, but a cheetah goes and does something that so few people can do. And it has to do it with such an intensity for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's done doing that thing, it needs to rest. I mean, you can watch videos of a cheetah after it has done this sprint, and it, like, you can see its lungs, like, just heaving, getting oxygen back into its system, and it can't just go do that sprint again. Versus maybe like something like a lion, where it's kind of constantly on the prowl. It will move and sit and move and sit. And so I think that it's interesting that balance is so critically important, because I think all jobs are stressful and have stress.
Oh yeah.
But these highly compacted moments, I think it, you know, it's like an extra pull on the energy source.
Oh yeah, definitely it is. I mean, flying is so mentally exhausting that we're so, you know, I guess in the zone during our flights and during the bad weather conditions. I don't think normally, you know, after we're done and we're either going home or going to a hotel, it's generally once we get to like the hotel or we get home that we feel that mental exhaustion.
Yes.
And then your body like comes down from, you know, the high, I guess you could say.
Yes. And
it is just draining, but it's amazing how you're in the zone for so long. As long as you need, your body will put you in there when you're flying. And then, but it'll immediately come straight down and you'll feel it once you're done. So it's pretty amazing. That's good.
You know, when you're saying that, I was thinking, like, you know, when you're driving your car and it's just pouring buckets, it's like, all I'm thinking about are my four tires and like staying in my lane.
Right.
And like you're processing through way more than that in horrible conditions. Huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like that, I was like, okay, what's the most stressful thing I can? And it's like, I mean, I know, like, you see people pulling over on the side of the road, and it's like, you don't have, you can't just be like, pause,
exactly.
We're gonna chill right.
Yeah, there's no reset button. You know, it's not like, oh, I messed this up. We're 50 feet off the ground. Let's just go back and try it again. So,
I remember it was one of my very first professional keynotes, and it was on the other side of the state. And so had like a great, it was the opening keynote, I was the closing keynote for a conference. And the first guy was an astronaut and then me closing. Perfect.
Ooh.
And you know, this was like my first big one, 1,000 people. Like, you know, I was so ready, but I had no real, I had done some smaller stuff, but nothing like this. So had a great celebratory lunch afterwards. And I remember coming home and sitting on the couch, and it was like, where do I go from here? Like, that was such a high, such a thrill. And now it's like, you're just in real life and you're just sitting there. And it feels like that mental distance between where you just were and where you are now is just like, it's a cavern. It's the Grand Canyon away.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
How do you find yourself like reacclimating into, I say real life, but you know, you're home within an hour of a landing, and you know, it's time to be with the kids. It's time to be with the family. It's like, what are some tools or ways or tricks that you found that help you kind of slide back into real life with as much presence as possible?
Yeah, there's no trick. It's just more of just, I guess, pushing through. Like, yeah, after a long day, you know, and coming back and flying all night and not sleeping and being tired and getting home. There's really not much. You just got to kind of push through it, I guess, until you get that rest or that sleep that you need. But yeah, it helps coming home. You know, it helps decompressing. The kids take your mind off of work. It's very helpful in that sense. So it does help when you come home. So.
And I think too, like that first experience I had versus, you know, how many years have you been flying now?
10 years professionally.
Yeah. So you've been flying 10 years professionally. So you've gone through this, you know, imagine probably thousands of times. And so it's probably a little bit different now versus when you first started, because you've reacclimated in. Is it different when, you know, you're in another place, you're in a hotel, it's just you versus when you come home and you've got family, you've got some responsibilities? Do you find that there's like a little bit of a difference in how quickly you recharge or how you feel?
Not necessarily. I mean, when we go to a hotel, we basically first thing, you know, like we'll probably eat, and then whether it's the middle of the day, it could be 2 in the afternoon, but we have to sleep. So, you know, a lot of pilots black out shades and, you know, make the room dark, but basically you just got to sleep. And that, whether I come home or I'm in a hotel, it's the same thing. So, yeah.
Cause obviously you like you're off for a period of time, but
right
at the end of that period of time, like you could be right back on a plane. And so if you flew through the night and you're like, well, I'll get a nap this afternoon. And all of a sudden that window of time closes up. You might not be ready, or you might not feel like it's safe to be able to take that flight.
Right. And that's that. And it falls on us to be well rested before the next flight. So, I mean, like I said, you're normally so mentally exhausted that as soon as you lay down, you're out. There has been a time I walked into my hotel room and there's normally, you know, like two beds and then a desk and a chair. I've actually fallen asleep in the chair in my uniform. Just, I woke up. That's how I woke up. Like, I was so tired. So it's.
You were like, I'll plug my phone in over here. And
yeah, yeah, nope. Yeah. I probably FaceTime the kids, and then I just fell asleep. I mean.
So good.
Yeah.
fundamentally, is there a not a difference in skill, or but is there a difference in, and maybe you don't know the answer, but like a commercial pilot who, you know, starts their day in LA at LAX and takes 3-4 flights and ends up in Des Moines, Iowa, spends the night. Is that a little bit different of a routine versus, you know, a situation where you're kind of on call, it might be the middle of the night?
Yes. Not to say that they aren't going to be mentally exhausted as well.
Sure, of course. Yeah, because they're still getting, I mean, they've got hundreds of lives in their hands.
Right. But to know when you're going, you know, as opposed to my job where I'm just on call, I rest when I can. I eat when I can because I don't know when I'm going to be called, when my last meal is going to be, when I'm going to be able to eat next. And so there is... That is a really big difference to, you know, someone else who has a scheduled flight and knows exactly when they're going to be gone, exactly when they're going to be home. You know, that schedule is probably in my future and I would like to have that, but yeah, it is pretty different.
Hmm. Man, I feel like the amount of connections between what makes a successful flight and what makes a successful life is just, it's all there. Let's talk about coffee for a second.
Oh boy.
Tell everybody about your coffee preferences, because I need this recorded so that way in a year's time, we have evidence that you once were somebody who...
I don't know what you're talking about. I know. I see what you're doing here.
This is not public shaming. This is just an intervention.
I feel like it.
And I wasn't going to bring this up, but I have this cup of coffee in my office right now. That so Scott and his coffee preferences are mild at best. He is very comfortable drinking coffee that may not have been brewed today. Which I struggle with, but I had this coffee and our coffee maker turns off after 2 hours and this coffee was turned off and I was in between meetings and I was, had a little toast with peanut butter. And so I thought, oh, I'll have a sip of coffee. I touched the pot. It was still hot. And I lied to myself and I said, how bad can this be? It's still hot. Oof, do you just not taste the difference?
So you won't drink the coffee?
So I made a pot this morning around, I think, 6 a.m.
So it's good until tomorrow.
Just there was
that's
some
what it is. You got to warm it up. That's all coffee is.
No.
It's warmed up. You're not losing anything. It's all still there. It's going to do the same thing.
But it doesn't taste the same. It doesn't taste like it should. It's okay.
It does the job.
I guess. Which I cannot say that that's not a practical. That's practical. I get it. I have to wonder... Like, for you in your life, is your job, like, I don't want to say just your job. Like, obviously, you're passionate about it. Obviously, you assess these moments of lack of, I don't want to say these moments of failure, but these moments of a potentially a landing that didn't go how you wanted it to go. Like, you care. You know that you have to provide service. You know you have to have your body and your mind as ready as possible. Does that dawn on you, or has it just like, is it just, you know, you're at a dinner party and someone's like, oh yeah, I'm a manager at whatever versus, oh, I'm a pilot. Like us grounded human beings, you know, it's like, whoa, pilot.
Right.
But like to you, is it just
a profession?
Like, I'm not saying like, has the excitement worn off? That's not the question, but is it, it's your job, it's your life. And like, I don't think twice about it.
Yeah, I mean, definitely the excitement is not worn off. If it hasn't worn off by now, I don't think it will. I hear a lot of people talking about, you know, I want to retire at 50 or whatever. And in the aviation industry, you can be a commercial pilot till you're 65 and then you're forced to retire. Hmm. You know, I hope to go up to 65 and fly as long as I want to. So.
Because it is the, it is, I mean, and I think like, that's maybe the perfect way to land or to
nice.
To land this discussion.
Nice. Nicely put.
But like truly, I feel like, and I mean, even the premise of the podcast, meaningful work, is finding work that you're not waiting to get to this arbitrary number to exhale, be like, whew, I made it to the end. But that it's truly something that you enjoy along the way, that fuels you, that excites you, that provides these moments of stress that make you look back and want to be better the next time because it didn't happen the way that you wanted it to. And man, that's some good stuff right there.
Good stuff.
Yes. Well, Scott, again, thank you so much for taking the time to hang out on the Fireside Chat, for just being with us and for walking through your experience and some of the things that truly, I'm excited to listen to this one again and just absorb some of the, there's so many good concepts in here.
It's all good stuff.
Write a book. All good. You're going to write a book.
I should write
when
a
you
book.
Put the plane on cruise control instead of watching Netflix. Oh, okay. You're start okay. Writing a
so
book.
I'll put the movie down and I'll start writing. Put the, okay.
Hey, plane, land yourself.
Oh, one day you watch. One day it'll be like that.
So good. Scott, again, thank you so much.
Thank you.